Well, thank you, Murray and team. Always know I'm really into worship when I blurt out words when we're not ready to sing yet. Again, I did that again today. That's twice in 3 weeks. My family's embarrassed by me, I'm sure, because I just start to get the next line in there, and they're not ready to quite yet to go there. But appreciate those words and those encouraging songs of worship. Yudi, thank you for your amazing testimony. Beautiful. Appreciate what God's doing in and through you. And just as Yudi was sharing, I was drawn to a passage of scripture that, Randy, I don't have on there, so don't worry about getting it up. But I was just thinking about Yudi and her work, and I think about what God has called us to, what God is calling us to continuously. And as we are seeking this year to encounter the living Christ, to be rooted and established in Christ, to make sure that we can go deep so we can go wide, to make sure that there are roots of what we believe and feel and live out are strong, comes from knowing our God intimately. And our mission statement, once again, to walk intimately with God and to invite others to journey with us, and includes both deep and wide. This idea that we have to continue to grow in our knowledge of the faith that we say we own and possess. And in some of my reading this week, I came across an idea that I've been just been ruminating in my mind. And Yudi shared, it just really came back again. And it's this idea that we, as the body of Christ, those of us who are called to be Christ followers, to walk in the way of Jesus, are simply called, as one author put it, simply called to wait well. And he said, you know, we've had Christ come, and he did all that he had to do on the cross, and we know that he will return someday. We went through the story last year and saw God show up in all these points, and then just in the incarnation, Jesus coming to life and then giving up that life on the cross for our sins. But with the promise and the beauty of ending that series in Revelation, this is the beautiful story of God's promises coming true again and again. And then ultimately someday when Jesus returns, it will be so. And we will be made as we're meant to be made. And I said last week, as we kicked off our series on spiritual disciplines, that Christ likeness someday will be given to us when Christ returns. But until then, we are striving to be Christ-like. And what we're asked to do between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ is to wait well and to be about the work that he's called us to do. And if anything is an encouragement to us today, it should be that we strive to wait well. And the scripture that came to mind is actually a scripture that God used in my life 32 years ago, to call me into ministry, to call me into a life of service for him. And it's found in Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodly godliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Catch this: while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. And he continues on in the discussion of the things to be taught. But this idea that we wait for the glorious appearing of our hope, Jesus Christ. And in our waiting, what does it say that we do? In our waiting, we wait for this glorious appearing, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to wash our sin clean, to give us that hope, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Zealous, the NASB says, zealous to do what is right. God has saved us not that we would just be saved. That's beautiful enough. But God has saved us that we might wait well and be his church in the in-between time. That we might bring the hope of the gospel to those who have need. That we might be his church, his bride, his body, his hands, his feet. We might bring salt and light, as we talk about all the time, into the world that so desperately needs it. And that's why we are in this discussion on spiritual disciplines. Those things are the things that help us to wait well. They are the things of our life that are God's given means to help us to grow in His godliness, to help us to grow in Christ likeness, to help us to be more like Him every day. We gave a working definition of the spiritual disciplines last week. It said, God-given means we are to use in spirit-filled pursuit of godliness. And that's what we're called to. We talked about the fact that the spiritual disciplines are the channels that are developed, the paths that are beaten down between us and God as we spend time with Him on a regular basis, as we strive to be more like Him and strive to stay in check with Him. And we want to talk over the next number of weeks about many of these things. And today, the topic is Bible intake, but I want to talk about something kind of around that, but not quite as clearly stated as that. Well, hopefully it will be when we're done. And it's this idea of meditation. That meditation is a much kind of broader picture than just Bible intake, just reading the Bible, or maybe even just studying the Bible, maybe more than just memorizing the Bible and hearing the word preached and taught. In the scripture that Yugi shared today in Romans chapter 10, I believe it was, talks about the fact that, you know, people need to hear the gospel. They can't hear the gospel unless there's somebody who preaches it and teaches it. And that is necessary. Study is necessary. Memorization is commanded of us. And yet, all those things are fanned into flame by the act of meditation in our life to make sure that we're focusing on those things at all times in our lives, day and night, at every season of life. And I want to start there, kind of the how we make all this work. I'll tell you a little later about some tools we have available for helping us more in the area of Bible study and some of those other things. But I just want to talk about this act of meditation today. Now, I'll start off, I was going to go there later, but I was just start by sometimes in our world, it's not as bad today as it was 15 or 20 years ago. When I was growing up in the church, well, it was more than 15 or 20 years ago, sorry, 30, 35, I'm getting old, 40 years ago, when I was being raised in church, you didn't use the word meditation, even though the word meditate is all throughout Scripture, because people with weird beliefs meditated, but we pray. But there's more to be said than just saying a prayer. This act of meditation is much more than that. The word shows up 58 sometimes in Scripture, meaning various different things, but quite often meditation meant listening to God's Word, hearing it preached and taught, reflecting on God's Word, studying it and dwelling in it, rehearsing God's deeds. I love that thought. Rehearsing God's deeds. Seeing the God that showed up from Genesis to Revelation in our story study last year, and understanding that we not only can rehearse, ruminate on those from the past, but we can rehearse them for the future. That the God who did these things consistently in the past will consistently do them in the future and in our lives. And we not only ruminate on the past, but we rehearse in the future what God will do. And it's a beautiful thought that all those aspects are really tied up in this idea of meditation, meditating on God and His Word. Now, we often quite say that we meditate only in Word, that we study the Bible, we meditate on it. But meditation includes a lot of different things. Meditation includes our prayer life, includes our thought life, and includes a lot of things that we'll talk about. Pastor Dustin's going to talk next week about prayer. And we were talking this week, and he was just really drawn to the issue of repentance and seeking forgiveness. That is an act of meditation as well, and he'll talk about those things next week. But the purpose of our meditation is that our lives might be changed and that our behavior might be unchanged as we encounter the living Christ, the living God. And that's our desire to do that. I want us to continue on as we talk about this to just really get an idea of what it means. What does our life look like when we really start to build those channels and wear down those paths between us and God? One thing I didn't say last week that was in my notes is that, you know, I talked about the fact that in a tough season of my life, I'd beaten some paths of disciplines with God and how important that was to me. But we all know how comfortable some of the most well-worn things are in life. Anybody here have a shirt they just really love, but your wife won't let you wear it out of the house because it's too well-worn? Yeah, Herb, you got one. Guys are raising, well, wives are doing this. I'm sure the women have them too. Joanne's got a really ugly Hi, honey. Gray sweatshirt she loves to wear around the house, but she loves that thing. Well-worn pair of shoes that you want to wear, a pair of slippers. Isaac gave me a pair of slippers last Christmas for my Christmas gift, and I've already worn them down pretty good, but they just feel so good on my feet. Some of those well-worn things are some of the best things in life. And sometimes that path between us and God that we wear down after constant use is simply a wonderful place to be. Now, I want to read to you from Richard Foster. Many of you read maybe years ago, maybe recently, Richard Foster's book on celebration of the disciplines. And Foster is one who's spent a lot of time talking about the disciplines. And I just want to read to you his thoughts and definition of Christian meditation. Christian meditation, very simply, is the ability to hear God's voice and obey his word. It is that simple. And I'm jumping ahead, but he goes on to say, I wish I could make it harder. I wish I could add more, but it's not. The truth of the matter is, and listen to this, that the great God of the universe, the creator of all things, desires our fellowship. The wonderful news is that Jesus has not stopped acting and speaking. He is resurrected and at work in our world. He is not idle, nor has he developed laryngitis. He is alive and among us as our priest to forgive us, our prophet to teach us, our king to rule us, our shepherd to guide us. God is not dead, nor does he slumber. He has not created or developed laryngitis, that Jesus, God through Christ, through his word, through his living, through us, his spirit still speaks. And the simple fact is that we are called to develop the ability to hear God's word and to obey it. To hear God's word and to obey it. What a beautiful picture that as we feast on the milk and the meat of God's word, it's not that we might know the commands of a God who just wants to have us running in a certain order and looking and marching a certain way, but it's from a God who loves us intimately and wants to know us intimately. He speaks to us. He tells us about himself. He tells us what his desires are for our lives in service, but also just in value. That we would know how to serve him, but we would know that we're valued by him. What an amazing picture that is. He tells us of Jesus and the incarnation. He tells us of the gospel hope of the cross and Jesus dying to take away our sins. And then he tells us of the resurrection and the hope that we have that the Son sits at the right hand of the Father, speaking on our behalf to this day. His Spirit lives within us, giving us hope that we might press into Jesus. And know the power of that friendly, faithful relationship that we can have with him. Now, it's not always friendly and warm and cuddly. Don't get me wrong. There are times when God is for sure God and we just need to bow before him in all authority. But there's that side where he wants that intimate relationship with us. So our meditation as Christians is not as the world would see, where it's an emptying of our mind that anything can flow in. It's an emptying of our mind so Christ can flow in. It's a detachment from other things that we can attach fully to Christ and find our hope in him. And it's in those things that we come to find that purpose of changed behavior, becoming more like him, hearing his voice and obeying it, and becoming, as we become more like him, we become more useful for him. We become that people group zealous to do what is good, that people of his own possession called to do what is right. So meditation is kind of this central thing that pulls all of some of the other stuff together. The studying of the word, the reading of the word, the hearing of the word. All those things come together as we meditate on God's word and on who God is. And we meditate in prayer. I want to read to you two passages of scripture this morning. And if you've been around the church, most of them will be somewhat familiar to you. Some of you, if you're not, haven't been around the church, you may not have heard these words, but listen to them. First one is Joshua chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, please take them and open them to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. As God is preparing Joshua to go into the promised land and take the people who had been wandering for 40 years into the promised land, he says multiple times, don't be scared, be strong and courageous. But where does that strong ethic, that courage come from? It comes from the fact that Joshua was called to meditate on God's law and his word day and night, and to not vary to the left or to the right from it. He was called to know it, to apply it to his life. And it says, if he does so, then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, I want to be careful here. He will be prosperous and successful in God's plan, not his own. That doesn't mean that we listen to God's word and we apply it to our life and we do not go this way or that way and we stick right to it and we get the stuff figured out, that everything we've ever wanted will be handed to us. That is not the point. The point is, through God's power, God will lead the person who meditates on his word day and night to do the things that God has called them to do, to live out the life that he has prepared them for, and bless them as they do that. And we have to be careful there, because we can misinterpret that big time and say, if I just look at God's word, I'll get whatever I want. No, if you do what God's word says and you listen to it and you apply it to your life, you will give God whatever he wants. You won't get from God whatever you want. What you will give him is an obedient life. You give him a life on task for him and the way he's created you to be. Now, the other passage that kind of goes along with that is Psalm chapter 1, or Psalm 1. The first Psalm, first three verses there are powerful words that kind of tell us the same thing. But it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And I love so much of the Psalms and what they say to us. But this one here, just starting off this book of wisdom. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He meditates on it day and night. Now, there's a lot of ways we can approach that, and some people say, well, I study the Bible day and night, and studying is one thing, but meditating on it is something else. Meditating on it is to say, well, what does it mean to me? What is it? How does it apply to my life? Where's the application day to day? Some of us were taught as we were being raised up in youth group and in church, and I was talking about this last week, that this was pushed on me, and a good thing, I'm glad, to have my quiet time every morning and to read the Bible and to read my, you know, whatever my devotional book is. And the problem is, so many people thought that they opened that little booklet and they read that little thought and that one little verse, that their day was good and that they had spent time with God, and that's all they need. Where the thought of meditation is that you take that thought and you ruminate on it all day long, that other things come to mind, that as you memorize God's scripture, and this is the power of memorization, as you memorize God's scripture and you face something of a struggle during the day, it's amazing. Those verses come to mind and give you strength as you go through the day. That as we meditate on God's word, as we apply it to our life, the connection with Christ becomes more real each moment. That this idea that this God who wants to have a personal relationship with us is not just something we read about in the morning and I feel connected to him for a few moments, then I walk into my day and everything else goes to pot. You walk with him all day long. And all of a sudden this thought, this theological thought of the omnipresence of God, that he's everywhere at all times, becomes less of a theological thought and more of just a life lesson and application. That as I'm walking with him moment in, moment out, I realize that he's there, that he wants me to have this constant connection with him. It's a moment I thought about today, and this may sound somewhat disrespectful, and it's not meant to be in the least, but I would say over the last number of years, one of the most common word out of my mouth is Jesus Christ, the most common term. And it's not a swear word in any way possible. It's not said in the context of a full prayer. It's not said in this great theological thought that I'm somehow mustered up in me. But it's when my feet hit the floor in the morning, honestly, the first thought, if not the first words verbally out of my mouth are, Jesus, 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 help me. Help me. Somebody calls me with a problem and I talk on the phone. I hang up the phone. And Jesus, you're there with me. Help me through this. I just don't know how to do it. And honestly, this thought of, you know, Dustin will talk about prayer next week, but this thought of praying without ceasing and eluded me for so long. And then I realized that as I do strive and work on, and I'm not perfect at this, don't take it as the fact that I'm saying I'm perfect in this, but as I strive to meditate on God's word throughout the day, and I try to not only think about him at certain times of the day, but I try to make everything I do an example of my relationship with him, as I try in everything to be connected with him, as I make choices and as I lead and as I struggle and as I get frustrated and as I'm mad and as I'm everything, to say, Jesus, where are you in this? I've come to understand praying without ceasing in a different way. That my every thought is a prayer because my every thought is a meditation. Now, trust me, I'm far from that. But it begins to look like that. I want to read to you just a couple other scriptures here. These aren't on the screen, but just listen to these. Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So Jesus says, you know, if you obey my teaching, if you obey my command, if you meditate on it day and night and know it well, then you will be in communion with me. 1 John 5:1-5 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the ones who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Shows the power, the meditation, and the obeying of God's word. Not just hearing it, but obeying it and doing it is where love comes from. It's where love is exemplified. Psalm 39:3, the psalmist says, my heart grew hot within me while I meditated. The fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Talked about meditating on the word of God, meditating on who God is, meditating on his interaction with God. And it says, my heart grew hot within me while I meditated. The prophet Jeremiah said, does not my word burn like fire? Does it not shatter rock like a strong hammer? And these things are talking about the fire burning in us as we meditate. Well, studying the word and reading the word and hearing the word and memorizing the word are all good things, and we want you to do those things. But it says we meditate on those things that we learn in those moments, that the fire is fanned into flame, that the ember of a thought from a personal Bible study or a memorization moment is just fanned into flame as we meditate day and night on what God is teaching us. So I want to encourage us all, as we go through life, as we go through the season of life, as we're trying to talk about being rooted and established in love, that we would truly allow our life to be a meditation moment. That we'd allow our life to be these moments where God takes those little thoughts and just fans them in the flame as we think about them. Not for those few brief moments in the morning or the afternoon or lunch or whenever you do it. But you take that thought and you just let it ruminate. You think about God's faithfulness. That you think about, you know what, in the midst of all my problems, God has proven to be faithful throughout all these generations. And here I am with this little problem, and you know what, God can handle that as well. And God will handle that. He'll fan it as we meditate on it. I want to give you a little couple just tools we're working on here. We're not going to talk a lot about how to study the Bible. We're not going to talk about how to memorize. You can find great tools on that. But here's a couple thoughts for you when it comes to meditation on all these things. but particularly on God's written word. One is, read it. Be in the word. You can't meditate on it if you're not reading it. You can't be moved by it if you're not in it. So a couple thoughts on that. One is, if you don't have a Bible, talk to me. I've ordered actually a couple cases. They'll be here this week. And you know what? We're really bad about making sure everybody has a Bible. You can get it on your phone app. You can get the YouVersion Bible app. It's a great thing. It has lots of different versions on there. But I encourage you just to have a hard copy. I know you young people don't like hard copies of anything. But I encourage you to have a Bible, to open it up and to read it. So if you don't have one, we'll get you one. If you're new to the Bible and you're not sure about what the Bible is all about, Pastor Dustin has worked on a great little tool for us. It's on our webpage. If you go to the School of Discipleship part of our webpage, at the bottom it'll say, what is the Bible? And inductive Bible study. And those are two tools we've come up with. One is what the Bible is, the one that says, what is the Bible? to say that right. Pastor Dustin has just done a good job to help us understand the scriptures, why we trust them, why we do the things we do. It has some links on there in the PDF to go to other websites and find out information. The inductive Bible study, if you want to know how to study God's word better, that's a document that helps you understand just how to do a good, solid Bible study. Those are good things to do. But start by just reading it and applying it to your life. Come to SOD on Tuesday night. Just hang out with us as we talk about Jesus a little more. We're going to read his word and be moved by that. That's a good thing to do. But in closing, I just want you to understand that meditation is so important for us. This spending time in God's word day and night is so important to us. That it's not quite this simple, but sometimes it is almost this simple. That when people come to my office or ask to meet with me and they have problems and they're struggling, and it can be that I'm struggling in life. I don't know what I should do. I don't know what God's calling me to. I don't hear his voice. I don't know this. I have broken relationships. I have this. All these things that are common to our everyday life. So often, if I just stop and say, well, are you reading God's word? And if you are you actually trying to obey it and do what it says? Now, it's not that simple all the time, but the vast majority of it is. That if you're reading God's word, you're meditating on it, and you're trying to obey and apply what you're learning. Now, it doesn't make all your problems go away. It makes your attitude towards your problems better. It gives you the strength to know that God of the universe, who wants a personal relationship with you, has not left you. The God who has seen people throughout the ages with consistency of character and integrity of strength will see you through those times as well. So, folks, if you're struggling with something, I say the first place I'm going to ask you to start is to read the Bible and try to do what it says. And you'll say, well, I don't know where to read. Start reading. You'll be surprised what you'll find. There's not a part of the Bible that's best for this and a part of the Bible that's best for this. Sometimes there's good verses for certain things. Just start reading God's word. Finding out about his character. Find out how much he loves you. And you'll be amazed. Now, one last thing I want to give you is homework. And this I want everybody to do. I don't know how we all do at homework. We all hate homework. But if you want to know how to meditate on God's word, how to be inspired by God's word, I encourage you this week to read Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the largest, longest of the Psalms out there. I'm trying to figure out it's how many verses? 176 verses. It's in 22 sections based on the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. 22 over 7 divides roughly 3 a day. If you really want to know what God's word can do for you, this Psalm 119 talks constantly about God's word and the power of God's word. I encourage you to read one section in the morning, one lunchtime, one at dinner. And just be moved by the psalmist's words of encouragement about God's word and what it means to meditate on it. And I would sit here and read it all to you, but we're out of time here. But it goes and starts with, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes. Verse 23 says, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselor. And it goes on, at midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous ways. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. I call with all my heart, answer me, O Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before the dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. And that is, those thoughts are throughout the scriptures, but through Psalm 119, they're everywhere. There's 8 words used I can't remember all of them now. I circled them in my other Bible. But, you know, the different words of meditating, pursuing, all these things. And they show up all through this psalm. Take this week, read that psalm, and apply the thoughts of the psalm to your life. To meditate on God's word day and night. That you may be, and it says in here, one of the things, you are a word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Great old song that many of us sang for many years. Thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Let's pray. Father, as we just come this morning, we are challenged by so many things. I thank you for the heartwarming challenge of Yudi's story and what it means to wait well in the call that you have put on each of our lives. And Father, for our sister Yudi, I just pray that as she continues to wait on you and serve the people as your chosen person in Japan, that she would feel the full filling of your Holy Spirit. But Lord, each one of us has been placed somewhere. Each one of us has been placed among a group of people to be salt and light. But first, Lord, you ask us to read your word, to know you personally, to walk with you intimately, to meditate on that relationship, and from that we might know the path that we are to choose. We might know the way to walk. We might know the way to serve. We will know very clearly how intimately you have created us and how uniquely you have gifted us to be your hands and your feet. So, Father, as we seek your word out, as we meditate on it day and night, might we understand who you are, and might we have that familiar relationship with you, one that should cause us to fear and to shake and tremble because of your mightiness, but one that would allow us to press into Jesus just so closely because of the intimate nature of the relationship that you desire with us. And Father, we ask for this, and we plead for this, and we pray for this, that you would inspire our lives through the meditation on your word and on who you are, that through our prayer life and through the other disciplines that we can foster, that you would become more and more real to us each day. And this idea of your omnipresence and your being with us at all times is not a theological pursuit, but a reality of everyday life. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.